все говорили.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We'll go ahead and start. This month, of course, we are talking about worry, guilt, and shame. And the whole idea is to forget those items, that they are not they have nothing to do with the human condition whatsoever, unless you think they have something to do with the human condition. And we have been told this lie since day one, that humans suffer from worry, shame, and guilt. And that is a choice, and you're making that choice. So you can either make that choice or not make that choice. So during the month, we will discuss worry, guilt, and shame. Tonight will be guilt, since we did worry last week. So if you would be so kind as to turn to Jerry and say, what I think about, I bring about.
What I think about, I bring about.
What I think about, I bring about.
What I think about, I bring it out.
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 What I think about,
what I think about, I bring it out.
What I think about, I bring it out.
What I think about, I bring about.
And what I think about, I bring about. The whole idea of metaphysics is that whole thing, that what we think about, we bring into manifestation. And we want to learn how to do that, of course. And we use that expression, what I think about, I bring about, meaning that thoughts have power, that thoughts go someplace and they do something. But when we talk about these thoughts going someplace and doing something, they must be backed up with what's called feeling. You must have a feeling behind the thought. So, last week we did, and we'll do it again this week, because there's another thing that we always say in metaphysics. Where thought goes, energy flows. And we discovered energy last week, remember, with our hands. So let's rub our hands together once more. And let's clap. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now hold your hands. And with your thought, think energy. Just think energy between your hands. And start to feel that. Start to feel that energy. Pull your hands back and forth without touching. And you'll feel something building up in there. That's this whole thing that's energy. But your thought is doing that. So think that. Energy. And you can start to feel it. So this is just to show you that where thought goes, energy flows. So where are you putting your thoughts? Where are you putting your energy? See, that is how we bring things into our life. By focusing on them, by concentrating on them, and by sending them energy. As soon as you take your energy away from anything, it disappears. It has no life of its own. You're the one that's giving it life with your energy. So if you're going to worry, you're putting energy into that. Just withdraw that energy and stop that worrying. Last week I suggested that you change that word to being concerned. Just be concerned about things. Don't get all worried about things. I also forgot to tell you last week that one of my metaphysical teachers was Scarlett O'Hara. Remember from Gone with the Wind? What did she always say? I'll worry about that tomorrow. I'll worry about that tomorrow. I have no time to worry about that today. I have other things to do. This is what you can do in your own life. Don't worry about it today. Say, oh, well, I'll worry about that tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, do it again. I'll worry about that tomorrow. So don't worry about things. Why do we not want to worry about things? It's absolutely incredible that people want to worry about things when they say that they believe in this thing called God, or that they believe in this universe. Last week we talked about having a feeling of well-being all around you, that this universe is a friendly universe, it's a supportive universe, this universe wants you to succeed in everything. So if you know that, and if you know that this thing, this source that we call God, or we call energy source, whatever you want to call it, is always flowing nothing but good out, then what do you have to worry about? Why would you want to worry? See, it's a learned habit. It's a learned habit. If you absolutely believe that there is such a thing called God, and so many people apparently believe that, but I know tons of people who go to church every Sunday and practically live in the church, but they worry constantly. One of the things that most people worry about that go to church is they don't think they're going to be saved. So what's the sense of going? You're saying, first of all, everyone wants to be saved. Saved from what? I never can quite figure that out. We're already saved. You see, it's like lost souls. There's no such thing as a lost soul. Souls know exactly where they are all the time.
Sorry.
It's on the bottom. Women's purses, they're always on the bottom.
Okay. I'm going to go out here and fix
it. So, don't worry about that. That's absolutely right. You see, little things like that, don't get upset about, and don't get rid of this whole idea of worry in your life. You cannot say that you believe that this universe is for you and then start to worry about things. It has to be a learned habit. So give the worry up. The same way, give guilt up. Guilt is man-made. And we know we have Jewish guilt, we have Catholic guilt, we have this type of guilt, that type of guilt. Guilt is used to manipulate people. It's used to manipulate people. And the first time you ever heard that is probably from your parent who said, "Don't you feel guilty that you did that?" You know, "No, I don't feel guilty I did that. I just did it." Okay. I talk often about that Aunt Catherine of mine who lived to be 95. One time I had her at the drugstore. She got a cart and she went down the candy aisle and she just filled that whole cart up with candy. I said, "Aunt Catherine, don't you feel guilty about buying all that candy?" She said, "At my age, I don't feel guilty about anything. At my age." So why don't you make up your mind at any age that you are now that you're not going to feel guilty about anything? I notice that older people, as they get older, they realize that this thing of guilt is absolutely a nuisance, and they wonder why they ever did it to begin with. I'm sure Rhoda has reached an age where she's not going to feel guilty about anything anymore. So why do you want to wait till your Rhoda's age, 103, before you give up worry? I mean, before you give up guilt, you can decide to give that up right now. It's a learned habit. We use it for motivation. We use it to manipulate. We use it for all kinds of reasons. But it's not healthy for us. It's absolutely not healthy for us to feel guilty about anything. Why do we want to feel guilty about something? You see, here again, we make these big statements that we believe in this universe, that we believe in this thing called God, that we believe that we are one with this thing called God, and now we're going to feel guilty. We're going to do something and feel guilty. Why do we feel guilty about something? Because we think it's wrong, we think we did bad, you know. This thing called God, remember, never sits in judgment upon itself through you. God is not looking down and thinking that you're guilty. You're the one who thinks, "Oh, you've learned it." It's a society thing. It's a cultural thing. And it's been around long enough that we buy into it and we think that we have to be guilty. We have to be guilty of something. Don't do that in your life. Free yourself up from that. That is this whole idea of learning to think the thought that you want to think. Do you want to think that you're guilty? Do you want to think bad thoughts about yourself? Let somebody else think bad thoughts about you is my philosophy. I don't think bad thoughts about myself. Don't do that to yourself. You see, you're the one that can decide what you want to think about yourself. What do you want to think about yourself? Remember, I say always hold yourself in the highest of esteem. See yourself as the wonderful human being that you are. See yourself as that. Not as some guilt-ridden thing that you did something. Now, most of this thing about guilt and so forth comes when we are young and we take this in. And most of the things that we did when we were young that we feel guilty about. Is there anyone here who still feels guilty that when they've done something when they were young? You see, it's so ridiculous. Young people do ridiculous things. Teenagers do ridiculous things. Why do they do ridiculous things? Because their brain's not formed yet. You see, they have proven that. We think an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old should be able to do things. In fact, we put them into the service and they do kinds of crazy things and we think, isn't that awful? No, it's not awful. Your brain doesn't mature until you're about 21 and 22 years of age. The reasoning part of your brain does not completely mature till then. So we have made decisions, we have done different things, and we feel guilty about something that we have done when we shouldn't, because we couldn't have thought any other way. You have to give the brain time to mature, and we don't do that. And then we punish ourselves and we punish other people. And we punish these teenagers and so forth. Now, I don't think they should go running rampant through the streets. But you do have to realize that they're not thinking with a full, mature brain. So if you did anything in those years that you're holding against yourself, give that up. Give that up. You didn't have the brain power to do it correctly. But you felt guilty about something. Most of the time we feel guilty because of somebody else's expectations about us. And we feel guilty that we didn't live up to their expectation. Live up to your own expectations. Don't live up to other people's expectations. You never can do that, by the way. You never can be what somebody else wants you to be. You can only be what you are. And what are you? Magnificent human beings. Magnificent human beings. Part of this whole system. Part of this thing we call God. Remember our little card over there? It says, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. So if you remember those different things, you can be able to give up this idea of guilt. The world outside teaches guilt. The world runs on this thing called guilt. That's how they get you to buy things, by making you feel guilty. And then you do something or you buy something. You're manipulated by this thing. So let guilt go from your life. And if you're using it on anybody else, let that go also. You'll see all the difference in yourself and in the people around you if you don't use these things of worry, guilt, and shame. Your life will change and the people around you will change. No one likes to feel guilty. It's just not a nice feeling. It's not a nice feeling. So if you're feeling guilty about something, here we go again with the idea of feeling. If you have a thought and you're feeling very guilty, that guilty feeling will outride that thought. It will override that thought. So if you're trying to bring something into your life, it's not going to come in. It's not going to come in. The feeling and the thought must match each other. A vibration must be caused by those two so that you get what you want. Which reminds me, I wanted to tell you two things about the teaching and about this economy that we're in and about this idea that this class is called Abundance and Prosperity, Including Money. I ran into a young man the other day that used to come, and he always sat in the back there. We hadn't seen him in months, and I was thinking, wonder where he is. Well, there he was behind the counter at Trader Joe's. He was absolutely delighted to see me, and I said, well, where have you been? He said, well, you know, I'm working. And he said, on Monday nights, I even have a second job. And I said, I think that's absolutely wonderful. I said, you have prosperity. He said, yes. And he said, Dallas, I wouldn't have that without taking your classes. Because when he's here, I didn't know it. And when he came here, he had no job. Now he has two jobs, and money is coming to him. So he understood this teaching, and he put it into practice. You've often heard me say, it doesn't matter how long you've been in this teaching. Has the teaching been in you? Is the teaching in you? And so many people, the teaching's not in. So now I'm going to tell you another story. Another young man who I used to call the poster child for this class called me because another student that we haven't seen in a long time is going through a very hard financial situation. And he says to me, how can that be? That person is supposed to know this teaching. They're supposed to know this. Well, that person knows absolutely this teaching, but they do not apply it. They don't know how to apply it. They have never given up their old way of thinking. Remember, you cannot graft this onto old thinking. It will not work. It's like putting old or new wine into old wine sacks. It will not work. So anyway, I'm talking with him about this person. And all the money's gone. They're being evicted. All this stuff is going on. And then he finally says to me, well, you know, I met that person in Debtors Anonymous. Now, why do I say that? The person has reverted right back to an addiction, to being a debtor. Why has that person gone back to being a debtor? Because that person was used to that feeling. Was used to that feeling of being in debt. And you see, the feeling draws it to you one more time. This is why people who win the lottery and so forth cannot hold on to the money. Because they don't have the feeling of money. They have the feeling of poverty. And that feeling becomes so ingrained in them and so familiar to them that feeling draws it back, draws poverty back to them, and they lose all the money. So that's what happened with this person. So you see, why I'm bringing that up is this idea of thought. This person can think all these wonderful thoughts, can know that money's always freely circulating in her life, and there's always a divine surplus. But that's just a thought. You must get the feeling behind that. If you don't give up the feeling, you'll go right back to where you were. And that is what happened here. And as soon as I heard, well, Debtors Anonymous, I knew exactly what happened. And we're not talking a small amount of money here. We're talking a large amount of money. And it's all gone. It's all gone. And an eviction notice is coming and the whole works. So you don't go through money like that, you see. Now, I'll tell you another little thing. This person that I'm talking about had private sessions with me. And you know what she said? Well, I never did tell you how much fear I was in all the time. Well, if you'd come to me and you don't tell me the truth, there's not much I can do about it. You know, if you come to a therapist and you lie to them, do you expect, you see, you can't expect that. So I never knew that the person was clear in all this fear. Fear of what? Fear of being a bag lady. Fear of being a bag lady. what you fear most comes upon you. And now it's come upon the person. And they're still using metaphysics, saying, well, I understand now what I did, and I'm, you know, maybe it's a lesson. Now, listen, people, I am so tired of this idea that people think they have one lesson after the other to learn. You know, why don't you just say to yourself, I've graduated. I'm tired of all these lessons. I'm tired of all these lessons. Remember my friend Lorraine holding her hand out and going, healed. Why don't you just heal yourself of all this stuff? Instead of taking this teaching, yes, and you can do this constantly. Oh, well, I needed to learn that lesson. Oh, well, this is a lesson for me to learn more. This is the... Do we need all these lessons? I mean, are you dumb? Are you stupid? You know? You don't need all these lessons. Wake up. You're here to enjoy your life. You're here to enjoy your life. You're here to be happy. If you want to contribute something to this world, instead of planting a tree and becoming all green and so forth, why don't you become happy? You will do more for this planet and more for this world being happy than planting a tree. Not that I have anything against planting trees. I happen to love them. But you can plant a tree and still remain the most miserable person. You see? So you're not contributing. If you want to contribute, start to be happy. Start to fill yourself with joy. And you're the one who has to do that. People are waiting for something to make them happy. There's nothing that you have to make yourself happy. Remember Abraham Lincoln, most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. You have to make up your mind to be happy. You have to make up your mind to know that this universe is a universe of well-being. That this universe is for you. That this thing called God is for you. That there is only good in the world. That you're always moving from your good to your greater good. That you're always moving from glory to greater glory. These are the things you want to keep your mind on. These. Not this other stuff that's going on out there. Not this idea of worry and guilt and shame. Think good thoughts all the time. Think good thoughts all the time. Think on these things. I think that was Paul. Who said that? Think on these things. Don't think on the things that are ugly. You'll only make more ugliness. Remember, where thought goes, energy flows. And if you think on what you don't want and all the ugly things that are in the world, that is what you're going to get. And by the way, the world out there, this thing we call race mind, only shows you 5% of what's going on in the world. And the 5% that they show you is all the bad stuff. They show you all the car accidents. Do we need to see all that? They show you the wars. They show you the starving people. They show you all that. And you sit there and watch that and listen to that on the television and on the radio, and you start to say, this is a horrible world we live in. Look what's going on. But it is 5% only. So 95% is something good going on. Today, 95 wonderful things happened, but you didn't hear about them. And you never will. So you have to look for the 95 and see the 95. Not be convinced. The world is very convincing. Those news programs are very convincing. And they make you think that this world is awful. This world is not awful. Is not awful. How do we know that this world is not awful? Because God only makes good. Remember? God looked around and said, everything is good. We're the ones who make all this other stuff. We do that. Not this thing called God, not this universe, not this source energy, call it whatever you will. But we have to look at the things differently, and we have to see the 95% good that's going on, not the 5% bad, thinking that it's 100%. You know, a couple years ago, I remember they put a program, a good news program on television. They were going to report nothing but good news. Well, it didn't last very long because no one was interested in it. No one was in. Do you remember that? Yes. No one was interested in it. Who wants to know something good? I want to know the gory things. You know, I want to see all this stuff that's going on out there. You can't feed your mind all that stuff. Give that up. Give that idea up. See the good. Now, let's talk a moment about seeing the good and giving up the worry and the guilt and the shame. Where do we want to see the good?
Ourselves.
Absolutely. We want to see the good in ourselves. Does everyone see the good in themselves? Do you say something good about yourself every day? Do you see something good about yourself every day? Start to say something nice about yourself every day. Geez, I can do this. Oh, look what how lovely that is. Look how well I look today. Look how well I'm dressed today.
Sometimes seeing the bad stuff on TV and whatnot helps see the good in yourself. For example, like sometimes if I see somebody that's, you know, less fortunate, I'll say, wow, you know, I'm really blessed to have my arms and my legs and that I'm healthy and I don't have disease. And, you know, seeing others in trouble helps me realize I have nothing to complain about.
Well, we never have anything to complain about. But seeing that in other people, I could go into this, but I'll just do it quickly so we don't get off here on one of my tangents. See the good in yourself without comparing yourself to somebody without legs and arms and whatever they're doing. You have to remember that those people chose where they are. Now, don't start a conversation on that.
About seeing the good and God only sees good. And then that comes into my mind is like the person that goes out and murders 9 people sensibly and senselessly.
Yes.
You know, and just not try not to see, not to go there, but
yes.
It's hard to
recognize. Yes, you don't go there. And that is a sensational, and that's certainly compelling to want to go there. When anything like that happens, you know what I do. Now, this is what I do. I say, oh, thank God I haven't picked that life. I haven't chosen to do that. I haven't picked that life. You see, you must come to the point to realize that people choose what they're doing. It doesn't matter if it's good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. They're choosing to do that. And we respond to that because, ooh, that's an awful thing to do. But I say, thank God, I don't choose to do that. You see. Thank God I choose to be a decent human being.
And final follow up, and then I'm done with this. But, and then he says, oh, well, you know, they were mentally ill and they didn't choose it because they didn't have the conscious ability to do it. And, you know, and so then I can't, then it does. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just, in that case, we stay at home. That means in our own consciousness, and we don't try to figure all that stuff out. You see, just put that on the shelf, the same way slavery you've put on the shelf, until we figure it out. We can't figure some of this stuff out, but we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You see, think of yourself. Go back. What am I doing? How good am I? What am I thinking about myself? Then you love, bless, and release that person, and you forgive that person instantly for doing whatever they did. You see, your life is about forgiveness. Your life is about compassion. If you can forgive and have compassion, the rest will all fall together also. The great example of forgiveness in the world that I've ever seen are the Amish people. When all those children got killed, they immediately forgave that man. They made it not sensational. They didn't talk to the reporters. And the most amazing thing, now granted, it was a small school. They tore that school completely down. No longer exists, that school. That is a cornfield. One more time. And they built another one. See, they loved it, they blessed it, they released it, and they immediately got rid of it. We had Columbine. Of course, we're going to say we're not going to tear that down because it's too big. That school's too big. But then they send children back to that school. Now, I don't know if you believe in the idea that walls, everything, contains things. That school never, the building itself, will never get over the trauma that happened there. It lives inside of that atmosphere. It lives inside of those walls, you see. Psychometry, it's called. Things vibrate. They hold energy. Is anyone familiar with Maya Angelou, the writer? If anyone is saying anything derogatory, mean, hateful, spiteful in her house, she says to them, "Would you please leave? I do not want that in the walls of my home. I do not want that in the walls of my home." Have you ever walked into a house or into a building or something and felt strange that something was different? It contains that energy still. It contains that energy. So you don't get away with this stuff. It's a vibrational world. These vibrations are set up and they're collected in different places. And you'll be able to see that. But this forgiveness, if the world would take an example from the Amish people, and you love it, you bless it, and you release it, it's forgiveness. You see, Christianity was based on the whole idea of forgiveness. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. But we don't forgive them. We don't forgive. What does that also mean when I'm saying you have to learn to forgive? You have to learn to forgive yourself. Everything starts with you. Life is an inside job, you see. It's a do-it-yourself project. You must learn to forgive yourself for anything. All day long I forgive myself. Sometimes for horrible thoughts I have. Sometimes I have a temper tantrum, you see. You never see that because I always do it in the privacy. But I forgive myself for that, you see. If you don't forgive yourself, what are you doing? You're holding something against you, you see. And if you don't forgive yourself, you're going to be guilt-ridden, aren't you? You're going to be guilt-ridden. Don't do it. Start with yourself. Forgive yourself. Love yourself. Goodness starts with yourself. Everything starts with you and moves out. Everything starts with you. So see good in yourself. Last week I said to get up in the morning and know that when you go out the door, there's nothing but well-being waiting for you out there. There's nothing but well-being out there. So when you wake up in the morning, say to yourself, "Geez, I'm a good person. I'm a wonderful person." Don't just get up and start the day. You see? Thoughts go someplace. Thoughts do something. Thoughts help your feelings, you see. If you feel good about yourself, don't you think you're going to feel good about other people and about what you're doing during the day? If you feel miserable, what are you going to do? Like attracts like. It's going to draw miserable situations to you and miserable people to you. It's going to do that. Where thought goes, energy flows. Where thought goes, energy flows. Where are you flowing your energy? Where are you flowing your thinking? What does it all boil down to? It's a mental world we live in. It's a mental world. Everything comes from the mind. Everything comes from the thinking. It doesn't come from any place else. But we are so convinced that this is a material world, that this is a physical world. And it's not. It's a mental world. You can see the physical. You can see the material. You cannot see the mental any more than you can see the spiritual. But it comes from your mind. It comes from what you are thinking. And we know that we can change our thoughts. Whatever you are thinking today, whatever situation you are in today, you brought that to yourself with your thinking. So if you know that and you don't like where you are, change your thinking and start to see yourself the way you want to be and start to see yourself where you want to be. You see. Back a moment to the eviction and all the money gone and all. That person got into the spiral of going down and thought all the stuff that was going to happen. And it happened. Why can't you take the spiral and go up? You see, everyone thinks when a spiral starts, it has to go down. Oh, I'm in this spiral, I'm going down, and I can't get up till I hit the bottom. Oh, please. You know, why does everyone have to... Oh, and you hear that all the time. Well, when they hit bottom, they'll get up again. Why do you ever want to hit bottom? If you know, if you start down, you say, oh, I'm not going down, I'm going up. And spiral up instead of down. No one teaches you that. They say, oh no, you're spiraling down. Why don't you spiral up to something? If this person would have collected their thoughts and their feelings, they wouldn't be in the situation they're in. They got convinced of what was going on around them. They got convinced with the economy. And they're blaming some of that on the economic situation. But they got very involved in the situation. They got very excited that they have to go to court. You see, you don't get excited if you're going to court and going to be evicted. This is no time to get excited. The time to get excited is when you say, I'm not going to get evicted, I am not going to go to court, I am not going to do any of these things, and start seeing yourself and getting excited about the nice things that are going to happen to you. See the difference? She spiraled down instead of spiraling up. You see? You can take this teaching and twist it any which way you want, you know. You can do that. I watch people do it all the time. And you can misprove this all the time. It's easier to disprove this teaching than it is to prove it. It's easier to disprove it. Now, this person has not lost their interest in metaphysics. But they haven't learned anything, and they haven't learned metaphysics, you see. There's a difference between talking the talk and walking the walk. And if you met this person, they can talk the talk. You would think they graduated from Ernest Holmes College. But if you can't apply this teaching, it's nothing. This is a practical teaching to be used to make your life better. To make your life better, not worse. But you can take it and do that. It's the same way with electricity. Electricity is a wonderful thing. It lights this room. But used incorrectly, it will kill you. It will kill you. That's the same thing that happens with this thing called God. If you do not use this thing correctly, it can kill you. It can kill you. Now, it doesn't know that. Electricity only knows how to be electricity. It doesn't know it killed anybody. See, it only knows how to be electricity. God only knows how to be God. And if you use it correctly, it will do everything for you. If you don't use it correctly, it won't. You see, it's as simple and easy as that. It can light up this room, or you can take those two wires and kill yourself with them. This thing called God only wants good, and only wants good for you, because God only comes to this plane of action through you. Through you. If you weren't here, would God exist? That's an existentialist question. You see, would God exist? No. Yes? But God needs us, needs each and every one of us on this plane of action so that God can do good. So why? How does that happen? Through your thinking. Through your thinking. If you want to think good, if you want to think wonderful things to bring into this world, you may do that. If you want to think ugly, horrible, mean things, you can do that also. It's always going to be a choice. It's always going to be a choice. And the choices are controlled by your feelings. How are you feeling about yourself? Are you feeling good about yourself? If you're feeling good about yourself, you're going to do good. If you're not feeling good about yourself, if you're feeling bad, you're going to do bad things. And you're the one that knows and chooses what you want to feel and what you want to think. So start thinking good thoughts about yourself and maintain those thoughts. And don't let the world convince you otherwise. Don't let anybody else convince you otherwise. You see, in any of these times, like this economical situation we're going in, this is the time you must stick to your guns. This is the time that you must prove that this teaching actually works. That this teaching actually works. Because it does work. And the young man who called me about the other person said, well, I use it all the time, Dallas, and I'm making money. I said, yes, I know. You see. Making money. And then he went on to tell me, all his bills are paid, he has money in the bank, he has all this stuff. So here's one person using it this way and the other person using it. And they're going in, going to be evicted. And lost all their money. And lost all their money. Because it's a lesson they need to learn. Oh, please. Stop doing that to yourself. Stop saying that you have another lesson to learn. Why don't you say at the I've graduated. I'm intelligent enough to know what I want. I'm intelligent enough to do this. I don't need all these lessons. Now, you may show me different ways to go. You may show me all these different things. But don't put these horrendous things in front of me. You see? What is she going to learn from being evicted? How to do it better the next time? You don't learn from those things, and there's no need to put yourself through that. You see, that type of thing, to put yourself in that type of situation, is what I call the nits and fleas of life. You see, that type of person that goes through all that kind of stuff are the people that are on the Jerry Springer show. We don't have Jerry Springers in here. This is not the type of thing you want. You see, you can have a B-grade movie life if you want, but not once you're in metaphysics. Then you have to have the very best life. You have to have the very best life. Why? Because you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You've learned that. If you know that you're worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, then what is stopping you? You say, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I remember a long time ago when we started that, and I told you these four things, I said, if you ever want to know what's happened to you and why it's happening to you, sit down and ask yourself, do I feel worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter? You see. And if this person were to sit down and went through those three things and convinced the mind that that was so, they wouldn't be going to court to be a victim. You see, if you know that you're worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and you matter, you can't be in that situation. You can't put yourself in that situation. I hope you don't think that I'm condemning this person. I'm not. I'm using this as an example to show you that this teaching, although you can talk about it and you can read all this stuff and you can think that you know it, unless it sinks down into your feelings, you do not know it. It's just an intellectual exercise for you. It's a wonderful way to talk at parties, perhaps, or something, but it's not doing you any good. And this teaching is a practical teaching. It's to do something good with it. So, this person will recover from this. Will recover from this. But it has to be done by using the mind correctly and by forgiving. Just forgive the whole thing. When you drag your past with you, it's very hard to make a new future. The past is the past. Leave it where it is. It doesn't exist any longer. It doesn't exist. So if you're thinking of an old love affair, an old marriage, an ex-husband or anything, give that up. It's useless. Absolutely useless. They don't exist anymore. See, think on what's good in your life. Think where you want to go with your life, not where you have been. Not where you have been. Have you been around people who only talk about the past? Drives you nuts after a while. Okay, let me do a few cards. The law of attraction will not allow you to find a vibrational frequency that is far from the frequency that you usually sustain. What does that mean? So many people want money. They want to be rich. But then you have to vibrate at that level. But if you don't know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable, and that you matter, you cannot vibrate. The law won't do it for you. That's the whole idea of God helps those who help themselves. You must come up with the vibration. You must come up with the feeling. And then the universe, or this thing called God, will back you up in that. But you have to do something. And the thing that you have to do is find the vibration, which means find the feeling. Find the feeling. How will it feel when I have obtained this? Remember I used to tell you to get up and always say, I am successful. I am successful. And then start feeling that success. But people want to wait till they're successful. Well, they're going to wait a long time. They're going to wait a long time. Every emotion that you feel is about your alignment or misalignment with the energy of your source. Alignment or misalignment with that energy. What does that mean? That means that most of the time, you know, we're off balance and we must just constantly love ourselves back to center. That's all that means. Love yourself back to center, to your center of truth, your center of love. Your center where you recognize that you are one with this thing called God. Anytime that something's happening to you that you don't want, it's because you're off center. You're off center. You know your body duplicates that for you all day long. You know we're never perfectly healthy in our body. It's always fighting something off. It's always bringing you back to center. It's homeostasis. It brings us back to center all the time. And that's what you have to do for yourself. You have to bring yourself back to center. You see. That's that whole idea of a plane leaving Los Angeles for New York. It does not fly in a straight line. It's off course 95% of the time. But it lands in New York because it just keeps bringing itself back to center. It brings itself back to center all the time. So bring yourself back to center when you're not feeling well, when you're upset, when you want something and you're not getting it. It's like, oh, I must be off center. And then bring yourself back to center. Here again, how do you do that? By using your imagination. I have a big Tao in my head. And it goes like this. It goes like this. And when I'm over here, this doesn't feel right. I love myself back to center. I just love myself back to center. I used to use this. I'll show it to you. You have a gamut always. Something happens to you. And you can say it's with a person. And you can say, oh, that dirty, rotten son of a bitch. Ooh, that's not very good. Over here, on this side, oh, what a lovely person. You just love yourself over to where you want to be. You just do it. You see? You have to do that. Using this thing, this mind, this imagination. See, we have a choice. Do we want to say that? Do we want to feel that? Or do we want to feel this? Just love yourself back to center. The center is always going to be there. That center, which I'm talking about, is pure love. It's pure love. And we don't stay in that center as much as we should. But you can bring yourself back to it by reminding yourself, oops, I'm off center. That's not who I am. Here's who I am. I'm a wonderful human being. By consciously choosing the direction of your thoughts, you can be in constant connection with source energy, with God, with joy, and with all that you consider to be good. By consciously choosing, by deliberately choosing, how do I want to feel? What do I want to think? No. Remember, I used to say the whole idea is to learn to think God thoughts after it. What is God thinking about this situation? Certainly not a rotten son of a bitch, I can assure you. I can assure you that. So, learn to think, what would God do in this situation? What would God do? How would God think? How would God handle this? And then use that. Absolute freedom exists as the basis of your true experience. And that, ultimately, the creation of your life experience is absolutely and only up to you. Absolute freedom exists as the basis of your true experience. And that ultimately the creation of your life experience is absolutely and only up to you. It's a do-it-yourself project. Life is a do-it-yourself project. It is up to you. No one else can do it for you. See, I cannot think for you any more than I can eat for you. You must do that for yourself. But it's wonderful once you know that you're completely responsible, and therein lies the freedom. You're the one that's making your life. See, that gets rid of that whole idea of blame. Now I can't blame this on anybody. Darn it. I have to take full responsibility for this. But it becomes joyful because the freedom is there. The freedom is there. You were born with an innate knowledge that you do create your own reality. We all know that, or we have known that. And you've done it many times in your life. But since the world is so convincing, you keep forgetting that. But you have an innate ability to create. And you have each and every one of us has created many things in our life. And we can create many more things. Now we can choose. I don't want the bad things anymore. I only want the good things in my life. And then choose those and create those, you say. But we have that horrible expression. You must have the good and the bad, you see. Because the world is a world of contrasts. But you don't have to listen to the world, remember. What did Jesus say? I am in this world. I am not of this world. Be in this world. Don't be of this world. Of this world means I go home and watch all that horrible news on the television set. And I believe everything that's going on out there. That's being of the world. Just be in the world and observe what's going on around you. And say that has nothing to do with me whatsoever. That has nothing to do with me whatsoever. Don't let it into your consciousness. Well, you will be a constant getter of experience and knowledge. Your life is not only that. It is about fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy. Fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy. Concentrate on that. Concentrate on your happiness and the joy of life. This is a wonderful experience we're going through here. Wonderful experience. And we must learn to thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. You see? Yes, we're going to go on for an eternity. Yes, you may come back. You see? But you don't know that. No one knows that. If you're going to come back to this plane of action. So take full advantage of this wonderful experience you're having now. And go gung-ho with it, you know. Get excited about it and enjoy it. When you understand the power of feeling good now, no matter, you will hold the key to the achievement of any state of being, any state of health, any state of wealth, or anything that you want. When you understand the power of feeling good now. Don't put off feeling good one more moment. Feel good now. And in order to feel good, give up worry, guilt, and shame. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you. I thought it was Sunday. Oh, darn.
Can you tell us to give up worry? Yeah, look what you